Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling. Live from a nondescript office tower on East Wacker. And yet these are the most beautiful radio studios in America, high above the greatest city in the land. On a cloudy, somewhat drizzly, kind of start to the day. But you know what we're here for? We're here to perk you up. We're here to make you happy. Tell you stuff you don't know. Tell you stuff that you want to tell your friends. And then hopefully you come back and you listen again tomorrow, because this will be a good show today. Tomorrow, who knows, right? G's back for a second day. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you. I'm deliriously excited to be back.
Show number 1425, show number two for you. You got some catching up to do.
Yeah, you are the MVP.
1425. Oh, we got a great kid of the week today. And former writer at Seinfeld's got a book out that I wanted to plug, because it's funny. It's good. And it sums up show business. It's called Banging My Head Against the Wall. The great Katie Ledecky. You an Olympic swimming fan?
Yeah.
Katie Ledecky. You're going to hear a lot about her next summer. Mm. If you haven't already been made aware of her. And then the cast of Music Man's coming in later. And we'll probably do a couple of snappy and zippy numbers. So, at 6:13, so yesterday afternoon, I'm hanging out with Abigail Grace, the world's greatest grandchild. And I include her brother in that because he's too young to know any better right now. He's just coming along.
But they don't have you babysitting him yet, right?
Why do you say it like that?
Because
I mean, the answer is no. Old. But why do you say it like that?
I don't know. I'd be a little worried with you at two
because
two
you
babies.
Could drop him.
Gonna drop him. As a matter of fact,
the kid's like a bowling ball. He weighed 10 pounds.
He's dropped some weight. Swimsuit season. for like a half an hour, I walked around with him and comforted him.
Aww. And somebody was there to chaperone you or
spotter. Yeah, spotter.
So you had a net, in other words.
Yeah.
Isn't that what? He's not that heavy. He's 9 pounds, 8 ounces or something.
My grandchildren were 5'9", both of them. He's
Did you drop
double
them?
The size. They were so tiny.
Oh, is this some sort of medical intervention where you think at 58 I'm dropping things now, especially children?
I didn't say you were dropping anything. No, Carm said it.
How long can you
Carm said it.
A five-day-old? Like, how long can you realistically hang in there and you're having a good time until you want to walk out the door? Can I get an honest...
Well, it's not walking out the door so much. It's just there's only so much I can do, because at 5 days old, he doesn't realize how much fun I am. But, you know, he squawks a little bit, and, mom makes him happy.
And they sleep all the time, and they can just lay on you. That's the best.
He's very twitchy, you know, as they are, because... I said this to somebody the other day. It's really a good thing that you don't remember what it was like when you were born, because there's a lot going on there.
Well, you definitely
What's with
don't.
The lights? Yeah. What's this atmospheric thing going on? Who are you people? Lauren and Ross are fabulous parents, and it's great. And then I had a chance to, suck up some extra time with Abigail yesterday, who's doing anything. Jay, I never told you this because you weren't here, but probably a year ago, maybe a little longer, on one of the Monday afternoons with Abigail, she wakes up from a nap. And after the nap, I go in, and I'm all excited to see her. Hi, Abigail! And in the dark, I hear, could I have a minute, please?
It's too much. You came on too strong.
Yeah. And it was very, very early signs of being a female.
Oh,
can I just get a minute?
Oh,
can I just
Steve,
get a minute?
I don't think it's about being a female. It's about being...
Oh, no.
Your granddaughter. No. But you're like that in the morning.
No, I never say, can I get a minute? I don't know any guy would ever say to get a minute.
I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of people that aren't morning people.
I'm not a morning person. I think I prove that every day between 6 and 10. And yesterday, just as a bookend to this, something new. She doesn't like when her brother cries.
See, I like her. I think that she's standing up for what she likes and doesn't like.
Yeah, she's not crazy about the crying. She's not
Don't blame her. It's noisy.
Right. But she's doing this thing new now where she announces from her room, I'm starting to cry. I'm starting to get upset.
Somebody come get
me. Then somebody has to come in.
Listen, I
just think we should announce our emotions throughout our entire life.
Absolutely. And I think, you know what? She's in tune with her feelings and what she needs.
Right.
And I think
right.
she's a budding comedian like somebody else we know.
Well, I still have a chance. But she's the greatest.
She should
she's
be more
greatest.
I don't know. She should be more direct.
Wait, there's a patio, you know, like any city place. There's a patio deck thing out in the back, and beautiful day yesterday. So we went for a little walk, and we stopped. We're sitting outside, and I said, "Do you want to go play?" She goes, "No, let's just talk."
Oh wow! I could actually learn some lessons from the school of Abigail Grace.
Uh-huh.
Like honestly,
yeah, she's
I
like
could
a
learn.
Therapist
yeah.
already.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there was some crying and some whining, but she said, "Listen, pops, grow up. You're 58 years old." So, but another fine afternoon there. And the little guy, Isaac.
Yeah.
Just fabulous. I can't wait for him to be 6 days old and 7 days old. I guess six would be today.
I hear that sometimes with fathers, and I don't think this is with grandfathers, that it's maybe a little bit harder to connect with, like, the newborn. You like,
oh, yeah,
wait
yeah.
for it to have, you know, yeah, a little no. more personality.
I told Ross this a long time ago because I found it to be true in my own world, and every dad I've ever talked to the same thing. I mean, it's so biological for the first couple mm-hmm. of years, right? And maybe a year and a half, 2 years, but at some point, the little guy or the little girl goes, that's a cool dude that keeps coming here. I like him. And then, you know, it's all about dad for a while, which is great. So, look, if you love being a parent, that's all you need to do. Just love your kid. That's all. Love your kid.
Better being a grandparent?
No, different. But it's fabulous. I mean,
you get to go home.
Yeah, and I don't know if you found this, Mary, but when I was told that they were going to have a baby, I think it said this on the air, I went, in my head, I'm not old enough for this. And then I looked in the mirror and I went, I'm plenty old for this. but it's the greatest thing. I don't know about you, Mary. It's different, but it's tremendous. It's one of the greatest things ever.
It is. It, I just wish, you know, I could see. You get to see Abigail a lot. I don't get to see mine as much. But now when little Corey sees me, she, you know, her way of saying go away is go play. Go play. I'm like, okay, will you play with me? No, you go play.
Well, yesterday, I get that too, totally. Yesterday, because her mom had a doctor's appointment, you know, post-baby thing. And they took the baby, obviously, and Ross drove. So there's just Abigail and me. And she tells me, the honesty, right? She tells me, she goes, I didn't want you to be here.
Oh.
And I said, well, why? I thought we're, you know, it's Pops. Why didn't you want him to be here? I like being here. I like being here with you. She goes, I'm just teasing.
Oh, she's
but
a
she
stinker.
Didn't. Well, she didn't want me to be there because she didn't want her parents to leave.
I love it.
Yeah.
So she's definitely your granddaughter.
Yeah, she's the greatest. Just much better hair. we're going to get the top six at six in here. As I said, a great kid of the week coming up as well. Why don't we do this first, Steve? What's coming up?
Steve, another alligator. This one found living in a house on the northwest side. We'll have that for you at 6:30 from the WGN Newsroom.
And traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Can I just interrupt 1 second?
Sure.
Found in a house? You mean the people didn't know it was in the house?
No, it was living in the house. It was probably invited to live there.
Is this the same people that dropped off the other one?
No, this is a whole other different alligator.
So was there an alligator snitch that told people the alligator was in there?
Well, I'm not really sure. I think it was discovered in the course of another investigation, perhaps. That's what we're kind of thinking is going to unfold here. They were serving, apparently, a narcotic search warrant.
Ah!
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
So instead of having a pit bull or some other kind of mean dog, they just had an alligator at the door.
Mm. Yeah, the enforcer.
Mm-hmm.
Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks.
With the top 666. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
By the way, I don't know about you guys, but I got nothing but universal praise for G. Everybody I talked to about the show yesterday, go, what'd you think? I thought she was great.
Oh my goodness, you're very kind.
No, I'm serious.
And I'd like to thank every single person that I paid to talk to you.
They all came up to me, and they all said, could you sign this invoice? No, it was very, very positive, so I hope you had fun.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, you're stuck here now. You signed a deal. all right, at 626, let's get after it. Here's your top six. Item number one, Democrats want to call Congress back from recess early to take up gun control legislation. Quick show of hands, because that works well on the radio. Do you think Congress ought to be off for a month in August, considering the state we're in?
No? No? Can I get a yes or a no? No? Anybody say yes?
Even without the gun issue, no.
Yeah, the amount of time Congress is off is ridiculous. At any rate, the administration has also condemned white supremacy and has called for the death penalty and hate crime murders. Oh, by the way, also blamed the shooter, not the gun, and took no specific action towards moving any legislation along in a well-written but vague speech yesterday that was poorly delivered. So, you know what we need to do, Joe, Super Joe?
Yes, sir.
There's, you know, the consoler-in-chief is a phrase that's used about the president. In times of national stress, the president's right words can go a long way towards uniting us and making us feel better, and the wrong words can make it worse. Trump's real good at the wrong words, but I think it's a way of showing the difference. Let's see if we get a montage together. Reagan did his Challenger speech, an epic speech, when the Challenger blew up. Bill Clinton, after Oklahoma City. Pull something from those two, and then this is an on-air meeting.
And then also maybe Barack Obama after the Sandy Hook shooting.
Yeah, and George Bush on the pile at 9/11.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's four really examples. Yeah. There's four examples right there of how to give a speech when everything is a mess. And, you know, frankly, Trump ought to be doing the homework, because that would help him out if he actually did a little bit of that. Next. Mayor Lori Lightfoot joining the chorus of people contending the rhetoric used by Donald Trump in battling opponents are contributing factors in the weekend's mass shootings that left 31 dead. Lightfoot on Monday said Trump has blown every racist, xenophobic dog whistle. She adds that when you do, the animals tend to come out. Meanwhile, J.B. Pritzker joined in the attack on Trump's rhetoric. He said the president has created an environment that makes people feel it's okay to attack people of color and immigrants in particular. Having said that, J.B. Pritzker also said, we haven't had this in Illinois. Yes, we have. We had it in Aurora, which I believe is less than a year ago. And I'm sure Mr. Pritzker now realizes that. You know, if we're going to jump on Trump for saying Toledo, you got to jump on Pritzker for not recognizing the pain that the people of Aurora have gone through. Next, Walmart has no plans to change their gun sale policy. Despite pressure from anti-gun groups following the weekend's mass shooting in El Paso, Walmart officials say they have no plans to stop selling guns and ammo. Walmart spokesman Randy Hargrove says the company's recently raised the age to buy guns from 18 to 21, and it maintains a strict background check. Our focus has always been on being a responsible seller of firearms. We go beyond federal law requiring all customers to pass a background check before purchasing any firearm. Well, let's get to the bottom of this. The bottom of this is fairly clear. This is money.
Yeah, and one economic note on that. Walmart is the largest gun retailer in the country. They sell the most retail guns.
So if they sold the most, Wrigley's Juicy Fruit or other gum, they wouldn't want to get rid of the gum either. But in this case, the gum's not going to kill you the way the guns are. So, you know, look, judge accordingly. I don't think people are going to stop shopping at Walmart. The whole thing continues to be just mystifying in how we live in the situation we're in. Next, Lucas Giolito ended a five-start winless streak since the All-Star break. Tim Anderson had three hits, scored twice. White Sox beat the Tigers 7-4. Let's go live now. To Guaranteed Rate, where Mark Carmen has been all night growing a beard. Mark?
Hi, Steve. How are you? I'm actually up in Detroit.
Oh, you are?
Right, with the
Wouldn't it be better if you're at Guaranteed Rate, like the TV stations do, where they don't send a reporter to the actual location, but they put you out in front of the home park?
Yeah, and it's very peaceful when you're there on the road, right?
Yeah.
You get to get a whole stadium to yourself. This is just a good development for the White Sox as far as getting Tim Anderson back healthy and getting Aloy back healthy. And Lucas has been the best story all season long, his resurgence. So it's good to see him pitch well last night.
Next! Flying car made by a Japanese electronics company. Let me just repeat that sentence. A flying car made by a Japanese electronics company went about 10 feet off the ground on a test run with no passengers Monday. First step towards a goal of passengers by 2030. The NEC Corp showed off the vehicle in a brief demonstration in a Tokyo suburb. Japan is a densely populated country. It means flying cars could greatly alleviate the burden of road traffic. Seems like a really terrible idea.
Yeah.
Frightening.
I mean, like a super crowded city, and suddenly a bunch of people are flying around running into each other.
Yeah, 2032, I don't know about that date. That's just 10 years away.
And let me just remind you, when we have driverless cars, you'll see one big head behind a wheel. It's going to be me. I'm not going to be in a driverless car.
But it's not going to work unless everybody's driverless.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
So you're going to make it not work for
everybody. Absolutely. I've screwed it up for everybody. Next, Jenna Karavunidis. Let's call her Jenna.
Yeah.
A Los Angeles blogger credited with creating the gender reveal party. And you know how that works, right? Where mm-hmm. you, a pink box or a blue yes. box or then, blue smoke or pink smoke.
Or there's a cake that opens up or balloons that get popped.
She says now the trend should end. She was expecting her first child in 2008, decided to have a party. The party was covered by Bump Magazine. I didn't know there was a Bump Magazine. It's a cute title for that.
Yeah.
Karavunidis, or as I like to call her, Jenna.
Jenna.
Was interviewed, and then she says the idea kind of jumped from there. Said, I felt a lot of mixed feelings about my random contribution to the culture. It just exploded. Literally, guns firing, forest fires, more emphasis on gender that's ever been necessary for a baby. Everybody needs to calm down and stop it. There was that huge... You remember, a couple of years ago, maybe now, there was a gender reveal party, and it was well-intended, but it's out in the plains. And the dad-to-be shot the box, like with a gun, you know, with a bunch of people standing around. And then the box explodes, and either pink comes out of it or blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl, but I do remember that the sparks from the shot hit the grass. Oh. The wildfire that started consumed acres and acres and acres, and fire departments from all over had to come put it out.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. It's like a second baby shower.
Yeah, do you know about a sprinkle?
A sprinkle.
Yeah, a sprinkle is like a second baby shower, too. I didn't know about this till this year.
Didn't Lauren have a sprinkle?
She did have a sprinkle. Amy threw it for you. Oh.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know a lot of people who have sprinkles after there's a big gap in the kids. You know, like 8 years later, you have a baby and you've already given all your stuff away.
Something totally different to me. I had no idea.
Well, for a pregnant lady, you know, it could happen at the sprinkle.
Yeah, but we don't need another party, so get rid of this gender reveal thing.
So,
you know.
Well, it can be cute, but when you involve firearms and fire, I think
that's a little dangerous.
Is there like a baby drip?
Oh, you mean like a sprinkle, then a drip?
Yeah, then a drip.
The drip generally starts right after the kid shows up. Yeah. And finally, Mitch McConnell, there's no way to say this other than the fact that Mitch McConnell tweeted out a picture this weekend after the shootings of tombstones with his political opponents' names on them, side by side of a big smiling picture of himself talking about how he is the grim reaper of socialism. That doesn't need any comment. I mean, take it as you like. He is beyond clueless, and I got nothing. Let's come back and get your headlines in just a second at 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on the team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kid of the Week time. Kids are all fired up. You can make sure that we know about a kid that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. Just go to WGNRadio.com. And, Joe, what do you, Super Joe, what do you do from there? Is there a Kid of the Week tab that you would hit? Do you just close your eyes really tight and say Kid of the Week? How do you get to the Kid of the Week?
Yeah, the ladder can get you there. But, you go to WGNRadio.com/contests. And there's a tab for the Kid of the Week there, and you just fill out all the information, and we'll take it from there.
And we would love to hear about your kids. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I like the little kid stuff, you know, because the little kids are fun. But these are such inspiring stories with the kids as they get older and get into high school. And today is no exception. I was particularly touched by this because growing up around a lot of Olympic-level drinkers, including having a brother who has been clean and sober now for 16 years, I was touched by his story. So please meet this week's Kid of the Week. It is Wesley Cotter, all the way from West Virginia. Where in West Virginia?
I'm from Bridgeport, West Virginia.
Help us out. Where is that in relation to, say, Charleston or someplace else?
Yeah, so I'm about 45 minutes to 30 minutes south of Morgantown, West Virginia, which is right close to the border of Pennsylvania and West Virginia.
You still got plenty of pretty mountains and stuff there?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful there. I love it.
Well, nice to have you on. The story that we got from somebody here that knows you well, you have two older brothers who were in and out of rehab for over 5 years. Now let's jump to the good news. They're clean and sober now for how long?
They've been clean and sober for about a year and a half now.
God bless them. Yeah. Now, you took it upon yourself to raise money and awareness to help people that are affected to get help, because I'm sure you've probably learned at this point you can't love them enough to make them quit. They've got to do it themselves, but there are resources you need to help them get there.
You're exactly right, yeah. So what really inspired me to create this kind of nonprofit thing was to go to the World Leadership Conference through Hobie in Chicago. Actually, I was there last week, and it was such a life-changing experience. It was so great. And what was really cool is I also got to help out my brothers on the way, and like now they're super invested into this nonprofit, and we're ready to like make this a big deal. So it's pretty exciting.
Now, their particular issue is opioids?
I'm not sure. Like, I never really got into like the deep details of what kind of drug they were on. So I don't really know, but that's what I'm kind of wanting to keep it as.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm also intrigued by the fact that your two older brothers are listening to their younger brother and that you've opened a door for him. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool. And they've also opened the door for me to help other addicts, too, to see what it's like. It's so cool.
This conference that you came to here, this is all about running a nonprofit? Is that the focus?
The focus is just to be a leader and how to stay just and just be a public speaker and be able to do uncomfortable things and do what you think is right through life.
Sounds comfortable to me, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wesley, my name's G, and my question for you is, what throughout this journey have you learned that you wish you could share with other families that are going through what you guys went through?
Yeah. So the one thing that I've learned is that these addicts, they're still themselves. There's just like a cloud over them that is kind of the drugs are controlling them. So it's not the actual them. It's like a puppet inside their body making them do terrible things. But really, you still need to love them as you loved them before. You know, that these addicts, they deserve everything that I deserve. They deserve everything that any human being deserves.
Wesley, my name's Mark. Where'd you get the motivation / confidence to sort of step into this role? It almost feels like you're trying to save your family a little bit.
I kind of stepped into this role just because I'm ready to go out and see the world. I'm ready to be that leader. And I think this is such a cool motive because I can help other families as well. Right now, my family is going great. Like, my brothers are clean. They're in Clemson. One is in Clemson, South Carolina. And my other brother is actually living at home. But he's also helping other lives at a different rehabilitation center.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
And that's great.
That's awesome.
What do you think you want to do?
Well, I've always been big into acting. I've probably do about 5 shows a year, and I love teaching. I've always thought teaching would be cool, but right now, after going to Hobie, my mind might have been changed a little bit of maybe, I don't know, being an activist or something, just doing what I think is right.
Changing the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Well. You're a fine young man, and I mean that with all the respect that I could possibly muster. And your Uncle David is the guy that told us about it, so we thank you, Uncle David.
Yeah,
but you're doing a great thing. And
thank you.
I know you know what codependency is, and I'm just glad that you're not in it, because I was till I was about 45 probably before I finally realized I wasn't going to be able to save anybody, and it wasn't all up to me, and I wasn't the all-powerful person, and problem with codependence is part of it, your ego too. Your ego tells you that, you know, how could this person be doing this to me? They're not doing it to you.
Right.
It's happening to them in front of you. And that doesn't excuse the behaviors, but it does create an opportunity for empathy to try to help them out and, you know, do what Wesley's done. Do whatever you can in your life that makes sense, whether it's driving them to get help or helping them look up something online or starting your own nonprofit.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't help an addict unless they want to be helped.
Yeah. You're a good dude.
Thank you. Yeah.
I appreciate you getting up and being on the show. So have a fine West Virginia day, and tell your Uncle David we appreciate the tip on you. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to send you a good Chicago pizza from Lou Malnati's, because I can't believe the crap you're eating there, because it's pizza. So hold on, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
16.
That was big time.
16 years old.
So wise.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and to go through that kind of pain in a family, and to be able at 16 to understand the pain your brothers are going through, and to actually continue to try to help. And I'm stuck on that piece, though. Older brothers listening to their younger brother about something so sensitive and personal.
That's how it works sometimes.
It's great, right?
Yeah, and he saw what they did and knew that he couldn't go down the same path.
Right.
But this, especially with opioid, it's such a huge crisis in these small towns.
Because,
you know, my family lives in a small town outside of Appalachia foothills.
Right.
And especially there, it's just ravaged because there aren't enough jobs. And it's just gripped these little towns all over the country.
Yeah, rural people getting crushed.
Yeah, and there are no resources in those small towns either to help folks like that. So that's why what he's doing is so amazing.
It's very cool.
I mean, I was just looking at seeing a brother who's seeing his older brothers who he wants to
emulate, be like. They're probably his heroes, right?
Yeah, and now, oh my God, I've got no family structure. What can I do to possibly save us here? And okay, I'm going to be super active, which takes a ton of courage.
Yeah, it's an amazing kid.
Is this the wrong time to talk about my West Virginia Hot Springs experience?
Probably. But we'll come back and talk about it. 312-981-7200.
It was quite an experience, Steve, I got to tell you.
I'm sure it's a great story. I can't wait to hear it. West Virginia. Get ahead of myself here, but tomorrow on the show, part one of a two-part special series called Will Mark Carman Still Get Married?
Because come on.
Tomorrow we have another groom quiz. We've done this before, where we ask you questions to see how well you know the lovely Chelsea. And then we'll have Chelsea on Thursday. Now, I would like Chelsea to come in. But you're telling me in extensive negotiations last night, she says it's not going to happen.
It went well via text yesterday, Steve. She said she was going to come in, and then actually it went well via text in the morning. And then the afternoon, the tone changed, and then last night, I don't know why I need to come in. So
did you tell her she's not producing the show? She's a guest on the show. She doesn't have to come in. But she should not come in because of her demanding job or other reasons, not because she's concerned about what might go down on the show. Can you explain to her it's good for your career?
I could try that one, Steve. I don't know if she'll believe that, but I can give it an effort.
You want to tell me your West Virginia story now?
I was in West Virginia with a good buddy of mine, the good old Rob Ginsburg.
Okay.
And we were staying at some resort, and we were looking for like a hot springs, right?
Okay.
Okay, so we come up on this building that does not look
like resorty.
It doesn't look resorty. It doesn't look like something you want to go in, but this is the building. And we walk up to this white building, and inside is the hot spring, which is basically this hot tub, right? And we open
that by the way is not a hot spring,
right?
Just so we're clear,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, we open up the door. In there is this pool, and there's 10 dudes, and there's no bubbles, and they're all naked, and I'm like,
was this some sort of a singles club that you got involved in?
I didn't know where we were or what we were doing, but I wasn't taking one more step towards that pool. I was back to the car.
Was there moonshine involved?
I don't know what was going on in there, Mary, but
did you get a hi, y'all? Did you get any of that?
They all looked. I mean, here comes, you know, two Jewish guys walking up to the hot springs in West Virginia. They all looked at
us.
Well,
now you're just profiling. Just because you two look Jewish doesn't mean you're Jewish.
Fair enough. We stop at our tracks. They all stare at us. I'm out the door. My buddy walks up and puts his hands in the water. He's like, if it was the perfect temperature, I was going in. I'm like,
wow. I'm like, could he bring his own banjo?
Mark, I think you got to live a little, man.
Jump on in there,
Gene. Yes, because I mean, I think yesterday you were talking about all the underdressed folks at Lollapalooza.
You are painting yourself as an old guy. However, in this case, right call.
Why? Just because they were naked? Was it the naked factor?
I'm going to get nude in West Virginia and jump in this weird pool with no bubbles? No, not doing it. Sorry. Not happening.
It could have resulted in like a hot tub time machine story situation.
Yeah.
I mean,
now again,
I might have missed out on something, G. You got a point there.
Again, but it's a better story if you get in the water, but it's still a good story.
I think if you saw bubbles, I'd be more worried.
That's another good point.
Yeah, spoken like the grandmother, right? I mean, you got to be careful.
Like, where's the golf course? Let's get out of here.
It's a minute after 7. We got to take one more break, right? Coming back with your news in just a second. We'll tell you what's in the 7 o'clock hour on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Gotta wait for the woo. Stand by for the woo. I should know better than that. I had an old disc jockey moment there. I thought we had a woo before the vocal. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to penalize myself. In the midst of all the bad news from the weekend, there's an underreported story, which is worth mentioning. We'll get to in just a second. But, you know, it is time to play America's exciting, the game they're most excited about in this country now, which is Know Your Show. And this is an opportunity for you to find out more fun facts about Jisoo Ki, who is in day two of the program. And it looks like she's going to make the cut. 312-981-7200 for prizes. 312-981-7200. Michael, unfortunately, you're going to have to come in here and close these blinds because I literally can't see the computer screens 18 inches in front of my face now that the sun has broken through the clouds.
Here, I think I can do it.
No. Michael's job. Michael Heideman is a designated blind closer from way back. Here's a story, as you guys call it, 312-981-7200 to play the game. In Texas, where that weekend shooting left 22 dead in El Paso, there's a man named William Patrick Williams, 19 years old in Lubbock, arrested by federal authorities last Thursday after a short hospitalization. It was a tragedy averted, says Neely Cox. Thank you, Michael. The U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Texas. He said, I want to praise the defendant's grandmother who saved lives by interrupting what turned out to be a plot. Williams told his grandmother he purchased an AK-47 and planned to shoot up a local hotel and then commit suicide by cop. She gave authorities consent to search a room Williams rented at a hotel. Officers found a rifle, 17 magazines loaded with ammunition, knives, a black trench coat, tactical pants, a T-shirt that read, "Let 'em come," and black gloves with the fingers cut off. A check of the form used to purchase a weapon found Williams listed false information, including his address. He was arrested for allegedly making false statements to a firearms dealer. He faces 5 years in prison. The arrest came just about 48 hours before the El Paso shooting.
Wow.
And that's because the grandmother stepped up and turned in her own.
Go, Grandma.
Right?
Yeah.
All
unbelievable.
Day.
Incredible.
Austin's in Sterling. Good morning, Austin.
Morning.
It's very easy to play. I'm going to give you...
Okay.
I'm going to give you a choice between two facts about G. One is actually something G does, thinks, or is, and the other is some nonsense that I made up, okay?
Okay.
All right, so here we go. G, Suki, G had, as a child, G had a pet goat, or G had a dog that looked like a goat. Which was it? Did G have a pet goat or an unattractive dog that looked like a goat?
Austin, I'm crossing my fingers for you.
I'm going to go with the dog that looks like a goat. Oh!
I'm going to give you a chance to make up. I'm going to make you wait to hear the story. because I'd like to hear it as well. You had a goat?
I had a goat.
Come on. I told you.
I grew up in Western North Carolina. I was the only Asian American in all of the land.
Well, it doesn't mean you had to have a goat.
And there was a goat. I don't know if it was a pygmy goat, it was a runt, or it was very mangy, very unattractive.
And as a little girl, you took a liking to the
goat.
Yes,
and I saved it from imminent death. Later it died.
What did you name?
Did it live in the house?
No. It was in the back.
In the great wide open.
Did it live in the house, Mary?
No.
Some people bring their animals in the house.
Does G seem like somebody who would keep a goat in the house?
I don't know. It was a very
cute goat.
What'd you name the goat?
I think I named it Mange because it was mangy.
What a terrible name. What a self-esteem problem for this goat.
It was really cute, though.
You call him Bob or something.
Yeah, but I think that it was like this goat that was, no one wanted it, and I think I begged to rescue it.
Gee, what did Mange eat that made you really upset? Like, did Mange ever eat one of your shoes? Or
everything.
Oh, but goat, yes. Mary's right. Goats eat everything, so you have to keep things out of the way. But
what made you most upset?
Yeah, did he eat anything of yours?
Well, I mean, he wasn't in the house, so he didn't eat anything.
How old were you at this point?
I was like preteen. So,
okay, did you like have your first purse or something that the goat would have gone through? And,
no, I think like maybe a shirt. Nibble on the shirt. But I mean, as long as they have like open field and grass. Mark, why are you looking at me like that?
I'm trying to wonder, was there a barn? I mean, did you tie it to a fence?
Yes, we had like a little barn. So
okay.
The goat would.
I'm thinking the goat may have stolen your ID.
And there was a dog. There was a doghouse, and the goat would sleep in the doghouse.
How long did the goat live?
I think it had some health problems, which is why it was so little. So it didn't live very long, but it had a good life.
And did your mother at one point take you aside and go, honey, we're not going to have another pet goat?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she didn't let me have any other pets ever.
But she said it in a very positive way.
Yes, well, I don't know. Back then, my mother didn't say things in a positive way. She just yelled
now,
at me.
Now she's very positive.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself, Austin. Here we go. G loves skydiving, or at least she did skydive, but she hates roller coasters, or she loves roller coasters, but not after Mexican food. Which one of those are true?
I feel like there's a really good story with the Mexican food, so let's go with the second option.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, Austin, you suck at this game. But hold on, Austin. You're not dead yet.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
I love Austin.
Yeah, well, pulling for him. We're pulling for him. Why did you skydive?
I did it for the Air and Water Show.
Oh, you did?
With the Golden Knights, so that's the safest way to do it. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it with those professionals.
At what point in the plane did you go, this is the dumbest idea I've ever had?
You know, honestly, it's the taking off and, like, seeing...
The ground disappearing?
Yes. But then when you're up there, you're 10,000 feet, uh-huh. You're so high up.
Uh-huh.
Your body doesn't really recognize how far up you are.
Did you have any point did you try to talk them out of tying you to them as they jumped out of the plane? Tandem jump, I assume.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And you were good to go.
I was good to go. Well, I told them, I said, hey, if something goes wrong, this is like, it's like Mission Impossible, right? One of the other guys can swoop in and come and save me, right?
Yeah, they just dive.
That's
they
what
cut
I thought.
Their chute lines and just dive to get you.
I thought that, and
what did
the
guy say?
They were like, no, it doesn't quite work like that, ma'am, because you know they're very polite.
Uh-huh.
But I was attached. I stayed attached. It was pretty great. Except he thought it was fun to do the whole twirly thing, which almost made me throw up. But
did you guys have dinner or anything after? Have you stayed in touch?
No.
Okay.
Great guys. We're Facebook friends, though.
Oh, well, that's nice.
That's huge.
Would you do it again?
Absolutely. If it was with the Golden Knights.
Okay.
Professional folks.
I got to get you a win here, Austin. Are you ready?
Okay, let's do it.
G hates socks and only owns about a dozen pair. Hates socks, only owns about a dozen pair. Or she hates feet. Which one of those?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, Austin.
She hates feet.
Austin!
Ding, ding, ding!
No, it's incorrect. What?
Oh, my gosh.
I would have gotten that wrong, too.
Why do you hate socks?
I just hate socks. Hate them.
You mean you hate wearing socks?
Yeah, I hate wearing socks, so I don't own any socks. And I don't wear socks in the wintertime.
Just because you feel like your feet are restricted?
Yeah, yes, I feel very...
How do you feel about feet in general? Do you like feet?
Not really.
Yeah, my sister, Jennifer, hates feet.
Yeah.
She's freaked out by feet. Dude, last chance. G drinks pickle juice, or she drinks heavily at work. Which one?
Pickle juice.
Yes! Yes!
Austin.
Congratulations. You're lucky I'm a soft touch, my friend. Austin, hold the line. We got some five prizes for you. Thanks for playing.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
the most valuable person on the planet.
Why'd you drink pickle juice?
I love pickles. Bread and butter pickles, dill pickles, fresh pickles, picklebacks, anything.
So if they sold pickle juice like in six packs, you'd buy it.
I don't know if I'd drink a whole six pack, but I do. I like to take a sip of the pickle jar when I have a pickle.
Is that to cleanse anything situational?
No, I just have a salt tooth.
I just love the pickle juice.
Yes, I love the brine. I love the salt.
It's supposed to be good for you, too.
Yeah.
Do you drink it, Mary?
No.
Mary had your back there. Avery Carlson joins us. This is the most valuable person on the planet, sponsored by MegaPros. Good morning, Avery.
Morning. How are you guys?
You don't drink pickle juice, do you?
No. Okay. I don't really like pickles, actually.
Well.
It's okay. I still like you, Avery.
And Avery, we talk about rescuing dogs and cats and things all the time. Nobody ever talks about rescuing horses. You've got quite an amazing thing going here.
Yes, yes.
All right.
So one thing people tend to forget is that, you know, horses aren't really the same as dogs and cats. So people tend to, like, overlook them and think, oh, you know, you rescue a dog, you rescue a cat, and then you overlook a horse, really.
Yeah, and then and you think, well, horses have a lifespan and they're fine and all that, but in the case that seems to have inspired you most, you rescued a horse from a kill pen in Oklahoma, a severely burned horse, Emma, a quarter horse, Lipizzan, you rescued this horse and you were kind of off to the races at that point, right?
Definitely. My first rescue I was an eight-year-old girl at the time, and it was a blind and terrified mini pony. And she came from New Jersey, and we drove all the way out there to get her and bring her back. And that was the first time I really clicked with the rescue. And after that, I just knew I had to keep doing it.
So from 11, you started showing horses. Were you a rider as well?
Yes.
Like sport jumping and those things, or what did you do?
Yes, I did do hunter jumper, and I still do.
So when you rescue a horse, you know, it's, again, not like a dog where you can bring a dog home and bring it in the house. We were just talking about goats. You must have a very supportive family.
Oh, I do. My mom and dad, they're great. And, you know, thankfully they grew up with horses. My mom is also crazy about rescuing horses, and she's always the one going with me to Oklahoma and picking them up.
Well, Avery, yeah. I don't think a lot of people know just how many horses are slaughtered every year in America. And so there's a lot of horses available for rescue. But back to what Steve said, horses are super expensive to maintain. How are you guys maintaining that and keeping the horses up?
So most of my expenses, they're all out of pocket. And most of them come from, you know, like dog sitting or, you know, rehoming a rescue, the expenses from that. And the money we make on rehoming a rescue, that'll go back to the other rescues.
Do you think that your compassion for these horses that are going to be headed to slaughter comes from a place because you've experienced your own challenges, especially with your health as well?
Definitely, definitely. So I have arthritis and Hashimoto's disease. And I like to think, you know, because people haven't thrown me out and given up on me, that why would you give up on a horse that's slightly broken?
What a sweet statement.
You can easily rehab them.
Well, that's very sweet. That's very sweet, and that's touching, and that's a wonderful thing. Listen, I salute the fact that you do it. I don't know how many people could, but your dad's a vet, I understand?
Yes, he is. He owns Riverside Animal Clinic in McHenry, Illinois.
And between your dad and your mom and your family, you're doing a great thing. If anybody wants to get a hold of you, can they do it on social media or stuff, or just ask you more about it? I mean, how do people contact you?
So I have my own Facebook page. I have called Shady Pines Farm and Rescue.
Shady?
And I also...
I'm sorry, give me that again. Shady Pines Farm and Rescue?
Yes.
Okay.
Just like that. And I also have my own personal Facebook page.
Well, we want to stay in touch with you. We want you to keep us up to date on how you're doing. And, you know, with your own health, certainly, but also with your buddies, all those fine horses you're taking care of.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, we just had rescue number 21 and 22 come in the barn at 2 a.m. last night.
Wow. 22 yep. horses. Yeah. And how old are you now?
I'm 19. Yesterday was my 19th birthday, so we went to the sale barn to pick up some horses.
Well, happy birthday to you. You're doing a great thing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for being on. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Don't hang up now. Most valuable person on the planet. That's not something you find every day. No. Rescues horses.
It's a lot of work. It's expensive. Work. It's not easy. They need a lot of space.
How about Mom? Mom, we got to go to Oklahoma again. We got to pick up another horse.
This is not the time for me to tell my story about Samson, the horse who owned me at Boyne Mountain.
Not now, but soon. We'll come back to the headlines next at 720 WGN.
I will do the opposite. I used to sit here and do nothing and regret it for the rest of the day. So now I will do the opposite and I will do something. Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice that you were looking in my direction.
Oh, yes, I was. You just ordered the same exact lunch as me.
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
I'm Victoria. Hi.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's one of the greatest ever. Period. You ever try to apply it in real life, Carms, before you got engaged?
Probably not, but it's a great lesson. Be yourself.
So you got right back to lying about who you really are?
Oh, it's a pride and true, Steve, if
good
you will.
For you. Yeah. Good for you. Andy Cowan's with us. Banging My Head Against the Wall is a very funny book. You know how I know that, Andy? I started reading it.
It's such a pleasure to hear that someone actually read it who's interviewing me. That in and of itself is the opposite of most.
Yeah, the weird part is I didn't know you die at the end. See, that's the thing that he doesn't tell you right away.
That explains the inactivity in my life lately. Thank you for the spoiler alert there.
Stand by 1 second. I'm going to put you back on hold because it sounds like you're calling us from the moon. Hold on 1 second. You got to see if you can fix that. You want to tell me about the horse problem you have?
We drive up to northern Michigan, Steve.
To Boyne.
To Boyne Mountain. The first activity. We're getting on the horse, all right? It's horseback riding, and I want to show that I'm a man. I'm riding a horse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get the instructor. Don't let the horse veer off the path and eat all the grass. This dude knew by the way I was pulling the reins or whatever was going on that he had a complete lightweight. And I stalled the whole ride for everyone. He's nonstop. He ate the whole farm. I couldn't. And they're like, come on, bring him back. I'm like, you know, I'm pulling, I'm yanking on Samson.
Were you doing the manly thing? Were you going, come on, horsey, you're making me look bad?
I was like kicking at him. I'm like, dude, come on, just dude, hook a guy.
I just hope your fiance Chelsea isn't listening right now.
She was screaming at me. Do something.
Banging my head against the wall. Back with Andy Cowan. All right, Andy. So the opposite. You wrote for Seinfeld for what? 2 seasons?
I was there 94, 95, and I had gotten the freelance episode, The Opposite, on the year prior to when I joined staff.
Okay.
And that was my big breakthrough there. I had always thought, you know, in my own life, what if I'd done the complete opposite? I would have been better off. And Larry responded to that, and before you know it, it became the finale of the prior season.
It's one of the great George episodes of all time. I mean, it's tremendous. And well, there are a lot of great George episodes. But how does that work now as a staff writer on Seinfeld? You have the big hit. They bring you in. You work on a couple of dozen episodes. Does everybody contribute? Is there a main writer? How does it work?
Well, at the time I was a freelancer, so you're not even given the assignment until Larry signs off on 4 stories that address all the principals. And once that happened, I was off, and then I finished the script the morning of the Northridge earthquake.
Oh, wow.
It had that date on the cover, so it had fate written all over it in more ways than one. But by the time I got on staff, You basically pitch stories to Larry and Jerry, and when they sign off on enough of them that serve all the main characters, you go off on your own and write it. At the time, they had no table, which was great, because I hate writing around a table.
Yeah, exactly.
I always liked going off on my own. So it was basically pitching stories, going off, writing a first draft, giving it to them, and then that was it. They took it and rewrote everybody.
But here's the thing, right? Because you know you're funny. You've made money being funny. People tell you you're funny all the time. You're looking at two of the funniest people you're ever going to meet in your life, and they now have to tell you, yeah, you're kind of funny, and then they take your work and take it somewhere else. And point being, there's a whole ego adjustment thing that has to go with being a successful comedy writer, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you really learn to have a thick skin over many years of, enduring the system. And, you know, some people thrive better than others in that world. And, to this day, I still prefer working on my own or in a very small team. I have two projects now that involve just one other person. And I really feel like I come into my own to the fullest when you're in charge of your own creative domain. But it was such a thrill to be part of that world, and just to have anything represented on the show was such a kick, which you can't always say about every show you're a part of.
No, because I wrote for Alf.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I did some of Alf's stunt work. A lot of people don't remember that.
Oh, it was very impressive, by the way. I thought it.
G, say hi to Andy.
Hey, Andy. This is G.
Hi, G.
Want to know, how did you even get into a room with Larry and Jerry? And there's a lot of people listening that want to do what you do. And how do you get started?
Well, boy, you really have to. Oh, God. Well, one of the lessons of my book, product placement again, Banging My Head Against the Wall, A Comedy mm-hmm. Writer's Guide to Seeing Stars, is the persistence you have to display, and just because you're turned down a million times doesn't mean you shouldn't try the million and first time. And that was pretty much part and parcel of working with Larry. I had a manager at the time who knew him and enabled me to this shows you how long ago it was, fax ideas to him, and that's what I was doing, and I faxed like crazy, and I talk about in the book, he liked one of the stories, almost bought it, about George finding a lost bra in a dryer in a laundromat and looking at it as his glass slipper. He's going to find the woman
who fits the bra. That's brilliant.
Kramer disabuses him. Oh, that's obviously a grandmother's bra. Look at
that. Is tremendous.
Yeah, so he almost went for that, and then for some reason he said, oh, we're going to do a bra episode this season or whatever. What else you got?
What, do you remember the bra episode, guys? Do you remember the bra mm-hmm. episode? George worked for the Brassiere company.
Oh, right.
I think it was that episode that ultimately came from that. But, yeah, so that's when he said, you got anything else? And I threw him the opposite as a last-minute idea, and then he latched onto it. And then, it's just the long-winded answer to your question is you have to be so, so persistent, tenacious, and not nurse your wounds too strongly when you get turned down, because that's the name of the game.
Andy, I'm writing my own memoir now. It's called How I Scratched and Clawed My Way to the Middle and Stayed There. But the thing that I think, because kids ask you about this stuff all the time and the world's changed completely. But I'm only half kidding when I say this. You got to want it, like you're talking about, Andy. You got to want it more than you want anything else. And you also have to not be good at anything else, because it's so easy to fall back into something. Mm-hmm. Leno said it at one point, I think. Leno had a thing. He said, the worst thing you can do in show business is make a lot of money doing something else. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a good carpenter, or you're good this, or you're good that, there's very few Adam Carollas in the world who are like master carpenters and mechanics and could make a nice living, and they accidentally fall into show business. So I think basically that's the secret, Andy. You got to suck at everything else.
that is profound in its own way. I agree. It's a calling. You kind of wish it wasn't at times, but boy, if this is the thing you have to do, then just have your blinders on and just attack it. I'm proud to say the book was just picked up by the National Comedy Center in Jamestown, New York, banging my head against the wall. So It's just I think people, the readers, really enjoy not only new Seinfeld episodes that never made it on the air, but all kinds of comedy and stars from the Merv Griffin Show and Cheers and cartoons. And anyway, it'll help inspire fellow comedy people considering this career to really look at it in a new way.
Well, I would also say that even if you've never ever thought you'd write and won't write and won't even write a Christmas card, you're going to enjoy the entertainment of this book because it's very funny and the true story. You talk so much about the Merv Griffin experience. So you talk about different people, Merv Griffin and Larry David. But there's just great stuff wall to wall. All right, Carm, last word.
Who's more fun to be around, Andy, Larry or Jerry?
Oh, boy, that's a dangerous question. I mean, they were both great. You know, they really, I think they were likened to Lennon and McCartney, mm-hmm. in a way. You know, they each had their strengths. And Larry, I kind of connected with in terms of the maybe the East Coast neuroses, the angst. Jerry was amazing in that he seemed so grounded. And when I was there, it was the number one show. And this guy's the eye of the storm. He's the creator, the star, writer, along with Larry. And he couldn't have been more level-headed and mellow about it. It's just it must have been his upbringing or something in the water. I don't know.
Could have been the meds. We don't know.
That's right.
Andy, I'm a fan, and I really appreciate you doing this because the book's terrific, and I hope everybody gets it. Banging my head against the wall. It's a true story.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming on. So go get that book. I'm serious. Even if you're not into show business in any way, shape, or form, you just watch TV and you've been alive. It's a very entertaining book.
You really wrote an episode of Alf?
No. I've written many things, but not Alf. But I was Alf Stuntman. For years. Oh, yeah. No. Alf, they go into the bullpen. Steve's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We have more on entertainment coming up. And also on the show still to come, we got to get Heidemann in here to do his final recap of Lollapalooza because we didn't really have time to get into that yesterday. Katie Ledecky on the phone after 9 o'clock. Do you have a story you wanted to tell about swimming as well? You've had a lot of post punchline stories this morning.
I do have a swimming story, Steve, which we can get to if you'd like. Okay. Freshman year.
Yeah, but not right now.
Coach Wisniewski.
Yeah, but not right now.
Okay.
We'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Or kiss me good.
A proud service of Moron Industries. From Moron Incorporated, from our morons to your morons, it's time for Moron Entertainment. Is his situation still not active? Oh, that's right. He's in New York today. I forgot. Dean Richards live from New York on Moron Entertainment. Good morning, Dean.
Steve, I'm at the Moron Industries New York office.
Right, the East Coast. Opened. Yes.
Our East Coast division that just opened on Madison Avenue here in New York City. And people, there may be no city that loves morons more than New York City.
No question. He's not wrong. By the way, our moron office on Madison is a hot dog cart.
Ooh.
Yeah, right out in front. Yep.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Yep, you can get entertainment news and halal beef sandwich here.
Halal! Mark Carman's in for Dave Ennett this week, Dean, and as you know, he's getting married. And
when is that? Because I'm supposed to prepare my speech, I think, right?
November 30th, Dean. Get it ready, pal. Appreciate it.
All right.
A helpful texter from the 219 says, Mark, hurry up and lock her down. Get to the courthouse today. Still do the big fancy, but seal the deal. Mark, you know I love you, but seriously, today.
Settle down, texter, please.
Some concerns.
Let's relax.
Dean, what are you doing in New York?
I'm here to interview the cast of a movie that I saw last night that's called Blinded by the Light. Have you seen commercials for this?
Is this a Springsteen movie?
This is the Bruce Springsteen movie. It is about a London teenager of Pakistani descent. His family is very old school Pakistani. They want to stay in the, even though they live in London, they want to stay in the traditions of their native country. And all this young teenager wants to do is write and explore and live a life outside of Pakistani culture. He feels very repressed by his extremely very, very strict father. And one day when at school, somebody gives him a cassette, something that Steve still uses to jam on music all the time, by the way.
Well, one of my cars still has an 8-track.
Steve, you know, often down the halls of WGN, I'm like, Steve, take the Walkman off for a minute. Turn the cassette off for a second. I want to talk to you. This young teenager gets a cassette of Bruce Springsteen, and his life is changed. But even though the music is born in the USA and is about American stories, this young man is moved by the universality of Bruce Springsteen lyrics and becomes a Bruce Springsteen fanatic. It changes his life. It's such a beautiful, charming, lovely movie. And this is becoming kind of the year of these little music movies, like the Beatles movie yesterday that came out. Not that it was little, but the Elton John movie Rocket Man is certainly one of those too. But it's becoming a very musical musical year. This movie is so charming. There's not one star in the movie.
Can I ask you a stupid question, though? Stu, here's a stupid question. Did Bruce Springsteen write Blinded by the Light for Manfred Mann?
Yeah, I guess he did. I never knew that until I saw this movie last night.
That song probably has the most misunderstood lyrics of all time. It's Blinded by the Light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. And if you knew that, you're Manfred Mann.
I had to look up what deuce meant.
Yeah.
It's like a car.
Right. And nobody thought it was deuce. It's just... Dean, you used to play that a lot on the old jazz station, didn't you?
Oh, we played the Kenny G version of Blinded by the Light all the time. That sax solo in the middle of it, it was smooth. All I can say was it was smooth.
Hey, when you get back to town, this Friday is your big back-to-school WGN-TV Kids Fair.
I hear you're going to be there.
We will have the entire show there live, right in the parking lot. Do we need to bring anything?
No, not really.
We got to bring crap to plug in so we get on the air. But I mean, other than that,
you need equipment. We can't guarantee that any of it's going to work, as we found out over the past week. But I assume you're going to be probably in a tent, something like that, something covered by the sun.
Because of my bald head, I think we should probably be front and center. I mean, wherever you guys are, I think we should be right in front of you.
Dean's going to bring back hot dogs from New York.
Yeah, I don't know that you want that. I really don't know that you want that. They only change the water once a year, and that was back in the spring.
It can't be any unhealthier than me bringing it back on a long, airline flight, waiting for 3 days before serving it to her.
That's a good call. Just wrap it up, stuff in the bag. It's just Friday, the 18th. Wow, 18. You've been to every one, haven't you?
I have.
18th annual back-to-school kids fair, 6 to 9 a.m. Bradley Place, WGN TV Studios here in Chicago, wherever you are around America, start driving in now.
Yeah, really get there early because, we give away school supplies and free immunizations and just all kinds of merchandise from some of our fine clients. There's
health screenings, right? So like I can go up behind the kids and go, kids, get your cholesterol checked. You never know.
Right.
That type of thing.
Yeah, you're gonna have Steve going around going, can somebody check me for a hernia? Now that's not right. At a children's event, that's not a good thing to do.
By the way, if you want info or directions, here's what you do. You can get this sent right to your phone, 97999. Just text FAIR to 97999. You can also go to WGNradio.com/events.
Yeah, you're going to be amazed that it's a madhouse. There's all kinds of people there because people are trying to get free stuff for their kids for back to school. So, plus we have entertainment. We've got, all kinds of stuff. It's it's a blast every year.
You know, Michael Heidemann. Michael, come in here for a second. Jump on this microphone. Michael Heidemann is going to be leaving this show and going back to doing a night show thing here soon. Michael, before you leave the show, I think we should just probably exploit you as much as possible. So downstairs, Michael, speaking of school supplies, there's like four bins in a school supply drive here in the building. Mm-hmm. And the bins were completely empty when I walked in. So I think we need to seed the bins. So do me a favor. Go downstairs and report back to me in the next segment what they need. And then I'm going to have you go to the office supply closet here and steal stuff and take it downstairs and give it away.
Wow, that's very, very nice of you. Yeah,
we're going to go full Robin Hood.
Wow.
Well, Robin that's Staples nice, Hood.
Will the notebooks... Say Steve
yeah, some
Cochran
kids are going to be really grateful for writing on Kathy and Judy notebooks.
Well, maybe we can pass the hat and we can all go over to CVS and get some notebooks or something and then put them in the bin.
Nah. Let's start by stealing our own stuff.
That sounds good.
All right. So give me a list. All right. When we come back, speaking of a listing, we've got Tyrese. I'm often confused for Tyrese. I'd be walking down the street. People go, Steve? And I go, no, it's Tyrese.
Yo, bro.
Olivia Newton-John. And you got a honey of a deal today?
That's part of what I'm doing here. I'm doing interviews here in New York, but I thought while I was here, I got a couple of real estate listings also, and I've got a New York honey of a deal for you today.
Madman Drummers, Bummers, Indians in the Summer with a Teenage Diplomat. In the dumps with the mumps as the adolescent pumps his way into his hat. With a boulder on my shoulder, feeling kind of older, I tripped the merry-go-round. What the hell was Springsteen on when he wrote that?
Yet, in this movie, there's a scene in this movie where this London teenager talks about this song and how it exactly reflects what's going on in his life. And it actually brought me to tears. It was so moving.
Wow.
It was so moving and touching.
8:20, more with Dean in just a second. You're listening to More on Entertainment, the Steve Cochran Show.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards.
Sponsored by Ravinia. We go back to New York City.
Steve, the song Blinded by the Light was... written and recorded by Bruce Springsteen, first appeared on his 1973 debut album, Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Huh. Didn't know that. Did not know that. Hey, we have breaking show business news of a sad note, but what a fine run Toni Morrison had. The great author, the great writer. Toni Morrison has passed at 88 years old, probably known best for Beloved, which became an Oprah Winfrey movie, if you remember, in the late 80s or early 90s. That's just coming down. All right, sponsored by Ravinia, we continue with the rest of the show business. What's Tyrese upset about?
Tyrese, the actor who has appeared in all the Fast and Furious movies since the second one, there have now been eight, threw some shade at Dwayne The Rock Johnson yesterday for his movie Hobbs and Shaw, which is a spinoff of Fast and Furious. The Dwayne Johnson character and the Jason Statham character, Hobbs and Shaw, were introduced a couple of Fast and Furious movies ago. They've spun them off into their own movie, which became the number one movie this past weekend. So Tyrese Gibson on Instagram yesterday posts something that says that it's not respectful to break away from the family. It's exact quote. Exact quote, let me find it here, is that...
This has got to be a stunt to sell more tickets. Tyrese isn't that stupid.
I have to show my respect. He tried and attacked me for speaking out. Breaking up the family clearly doesn't have the value that one would assume it does.
But Dean, so, this has been ongoing between him and The Rock because he was so upset that The Rock wouldn't come back and do another movie with him, right?
Yeah, there was talk about that, and also talk that The Rock wasn't getting along with Vin Diesel. So I don't know, you know, if it's all real. I don't know if it's all, you know, showbiz hype. You know,
well, he sounds like a show business idiot breaking away from the family. It's a movie. It's going to make more money, and you're just sorry you're not in on the back end of it. I mean, I'm not here to defend The Rock, but don't be an idiot.
I think The Rock's above it, though. He seems to be about positivity.
He very much is. That's very true. In real life, that's very, very true.
What does this mean for our first moron entertainment movie? I probably shouldn't even announce this now, but now I'm fired up. It's not Fast and Furious. Dean and I are producing Slow and Sleepy. Slow and Sleepy will be our first moron entertainment full feature-length film. And is this going to hurt us?
Yeah, we haven't. The reason we haven't brought this up yet because we haven't decided which one is slow and which one is sleepy.
I was about to ask.
We're still working that out. Our agents are still working that out. My agent just keeps telling me, "Why don't you write a book about it?"
It's funnier than you know. Little Mermaid, the musical.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those TV musicals that. Ratings-wise, has not done that well, the last couple of TV musicals. But yesterday, ABC announced that they're going to do a live musical TV version of Little Mermaid that will star Halle Bailey. Not Halle Berry, but Halle Bailey. Will also star the little girl that starred in did the starring voice in Moana, Auli Cravajo. She will star as Ariel in this. Queen Latifah is going to be in it. Shaggy, not from the cartoons, will be Sebastian the Crab in this. But that's going to be on in November, they announced.
Wait, are you saying that auditions already took place then?
Sounds like it.
Auditions and casting, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge bummer.
Why? Oh, for you.
Yeah.
You wanted to be the mermaid?
Well, not so much the mermaid. Yeah, Flounder.
Yeah, because last year for Halloween when we all had to dress up, Super Joe was in a crab suit all morning.
Oh.
Wasn't he an octopus?
Was he?
Well, I think you were.
Were you a crab or an octopus?
Yeah, squid, octopus, one of those.
He was calamari.
A bunch of arms.
He was calamari. More grilled than deep fried.
You're going to find this out as Abigail Grace grows, but Halle Bailey, along with her twin, Chloe...
Hallie and Chloe Bailey, the Baileys?
Yes, they sang at the Super Bowl this last time.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, the anthem. It was really incredible, but they're huge. Like, all the little girls love them.
They are fabulous.
Super good. Talented, beautiful, everything.
Okay, well, that's a good tip for me. I'm writing it down right now so I look smart.
And also, the good news on that is that Super Joe in his... squid costume, whatever, can still get a job at a seafood restaurant standing out on the sidewalk trying to get people to come in at lunchtime.
When it's super hot, waving one of those signs.
Yeah.
All you can eat popcorn shrimp inside, that type of thing.
I'm not sure that they'll take me back. That's the problem.
Hey, I didn't know crustaceans had beards.
Yes, they do. Olivia Newton-John sick again. This is not a good story.
Yeah, this is not. This is definitely not a good story. Olivia Newton-John, who has battled cancer three times, now has been diagnosed again with stage 4 cancer. They have not revealed what kind of cancer that it is, but stage 4, a fourth time, not very good. In an interview that she did, she said that we know we're going to die at some point. We just don't know when. When you're given a cancer diagnosis, you're suddenly given the possibility of a time limit, so every day is a gift. How about that, having a positive attitude about a very dire diagnosis? She is 70 years old. She's done it three times, you know, and miracles happen all the time, and advances happen all the time in cancer care. So, you know, all we can do is wish her the best.
I had such a crush on her when I was a kid. Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
Because she's beautiful.
Yeah, big time. And I met her a few times, an incredibly sweet lady.
Aww.
Yeah, really genuine, nice person.
Way.
Yeah.
When you met her, did you say to her that you were hopelessly devoted to her?
No, but I did sort of dance around her, snapping my fingers, going, "Some loving had me a blast." She said, "Stop it already."
And then you say, "You're the one that I want."
All right, time now for what you know you've come here for. Not for the rest of the moron entertainment. You want a sweet real estate deal. What do you got, Dean?
Well, here in New York, I came to close my representing Wendy Williams. She's selling her New Jersey mansion. You may have heard that she's going through an ugly divorce with her estranged ex, whose name is Kevin Hunter.
Yeah, I thought they got back together yesterday or something. Is that all a rumor?
No, they're not back together. That is definitely a rumor. Okay. They are very definitely not not together. In fact, I saw her on a local New York morning TV show this morning saying that all she wants from Kevin Hunter is a swift divorce.
Wow. Yeah, so, that doesn't sound back together.
Yeah, I'm going to take that as not reunion talk. But they lived for a decade in Livingston, New Jersey. Steve, maybe you know where that is in the New York area.
Not far. Yeah, not far from the city.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of a stone's throw.
Yep.
But they have a lovely five-bedroom, five-bath, 5,700-square-foot home that is gorgeous. There are pictures of it. The only thing that's odd is Wendy Williams has talked about how she is a fan of the color black and that a lot of the rooms are all painted black. They're colored black. The wood has been stained black. It's a very like striking black and white home. So I don't know if, you know, if that's going to be a setback for anyone or not.
Well, it's a quick trip to Home Depot. Now, here's the deal. I am not, I don't want to live in Jersey. I've lived in Jersey before. I don't want to live in Jersey. But I see this as a solid investment, so let's go to the wallet. 20, 40, 60, 75. I'm a little light today. I got $79. Carms, you in on this?
100%.
How much?
62.
All right, that's $141. G, you want some action on this?
Don't look at me. I got 75 cents.
All right, that's $141 and 75 cents.
Put the 75 cents in.
Super Joe, you've been a solid investor lately. Anything on your end?
I got $3 as long as we can put lights in the room that are painted black.
$144.75, and you pay for the light bulbs. Okay, I want you to tell them you've got a cash offer, homie.
Wendy is asking $1.8 million for this house, but I will. What was the total you had?
$170, $175. Was that what it was? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna. She wants to. She said I saw her on TV. She wants to get this divorce over with.
Well, this is a fast way to fast track it. Take the money.
Yeah, her loss, her pain is it could be your loss on this. So I'm going to put the deal in for you today.
All right, you'll let me know.
I will let you know right away.
All right, get back safely, my fellow moron.
I'll see you back in town tomorrow.
That's Dean, Moron Entertainment, a service of Moron Industries. And we're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. I was a liar. I gave into the fire. I know I should have fought it. At least I'm being honest. Feel like a failure.
We continue live from the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker. Currently holding a school supply drive, a very sad school supply drive, in the lobby where there's four Super Joe. What would you call those bins? Are they like they're not Tupperware? What are they called? Those storage bins?
Yeah, storage bin. That's the way I would describe them.
Yeah, plastic storage,
medium
bins.
Size. You know, not
like
not
a big,
too big
Rubbermaid.
Yeah, Rubbermaid. That kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, but not that big.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, not that big. We ought to be able to fill those suckers up. So just a moment ago, Michael Heidemann, who joins us now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Michael and I went back to the office supply closet here at WGN, chock full of office supplies. And he had a list of what is being looked for. And I stole office supplies from the radio station. Everybody's saying, Steve, if you're announcing, you're stealing office supplies. Some big shot like Paul Rennie might be listening. You know, the boss from Channel 9 in here?
I wouldn't be afraid of Paul. I'd be afraid of Marlene.
No, that's very true. Marlene, the keeper
of
the store.
That is her closet. Because
Todd and I go way back, and Todd will visit me in prison. Mm. I mean, he's that kind of friend.
I will try to bail you out of prison.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you make like a cake with a file in it or something? Yeah. Something old school?
Well, I was going to try to do legal methods, but now that
that's right, your law school stuff.
Well, no, I have a lot of friends.
You'd be my own Marissa Tomei, couldn't you? Yeah. All right. So the deal is, we got video of me stealing stuff to take down to seed the office supply bins, so some of the other deadbeats in the building would actually contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it's about time.
And at the end, I throw in a little tip for the youngsters. I say, listen, if you've got a school supply drive, contribute. Steal from your workplace, you know, and bring them to there as well.
You also said don't run with scissors, which is very important.
Well, they wanted scissors on the list, but they're not the safety scissors. We have the giant pointy kind.
Wow. The industrial strength ones.
I'm glad you did not put those in the bin.
Oh, no, I did.
Oh, Steve.
Well, listen, I can't be dealing with the distribution end. I'm just a collector. So there's an incident in the lobby. You'll know why.
Incident in the Lobby. That was a band I was in, which brings us full circle because Michael just got back from Lollapalooza 10 minutes ago.
Yes, I did.
All right. So a great weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it wasn't...
An amazing weekend. I was asleep on the lawn for most of it. Yeah.
What?
No, that's why I'm coming back today.
Favorite act you saw?
Favorite act had to have been The Strokes. They returned after years of not playing together, reunited again, blew everyone away. It was great to see such a lo-fi band on such a hi-fi stage. So that was really awesome. And then, of course, Kacey Musgraves, one of the biggest
country
acts. I love
Kacey Musgraves.
Yeah, Jimmy.
She's great.
She's so awesome.
All 5 feet of her. And Jimmy?
Jimmy Buffett had mentioned how great she was on stage, too. And she just won Album of the Year. So seeing her in full form was pretty awesome as well. She made a lot of great comments about what was going on over the weekend. Very positive set, but very, very chill for a Lollapalooza festival. But
and then on the flip side, you were disappointed in Ariana Grande.
I was. I thought that it was going to be something extraordinary. I was expecting like the Beyonce performance from Coachella or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many backup dancers, and she's so small, I didn't know which one was Ariana, and I was so far away that I was kind of like, all right,
you're a big shot. Why couldn't you get up front?
Oh, that crowd is...
It's humans. You can't get through that many humans?
Wait, yes. You weren't VIP? You weren't, like, near the stage?
Oh, my gosh. Not VIP. I mean, in my own head, I guess I was, but when it comes to you and a massive amount of 14-year-old girls, you are no longer the VIP. They are. Mm-hmm.
The thing that I always find a little bit annoying during Lollapalooza is all the Instagram and Facebook posts of the people that are VIP, because mm-hmm. then they show all the pictures of the air-conditioned areas and the couches.
It. Stop it.
So there, I do have to admit, working in the press at this beautiful station called WGN did allow us into the press area with air-conditioned bathrooms, and that was the one.
So you decided I'm going to leave the VIP thing and go to the back of Grant Park where I can't see anything? What kind of move is that?
You know what? Sometimes it's just for the love of the music, I suppose.
All right. Band that we should pay attention to that you saw.
So there are a lot of amazing bands that you should pay attention to.
Stuff that we might not know of as well.
Tierra Whack is one of the up-and-coming hip-hop artists. I saw her at South by Southwest. She performed again here at Lolla. It blew everyone away. Amazing. I saw this great band called... What are they called?
Obviously, it's a great band.
Chelsea Cutler.
Chelsea Cutler.
An amazing, amazing singer. And of course, it was an interesting year because J Balvin, the first Hispanic singer to headline the festival, took over. And that was an amazing show as well. So check out those artists as well. And The Revivalists, a New Orleans 8-piece band who just puts out great, positive, funky horn section music. So those would be my choices.
What was the most uncomfortable thing you saw in the crowd?
Oh. Ask Grandpa.
Well, yes. Let me tell you. Right?
And by the way, she's not talking to me.
So it was funny because the most uncomfortable thing was a little mirror reflection. So I was sitting in the Ariana Grande concert, and I was thinking to myself, wow, there are so many young people here. And I remembered being a young person, and I'm like, this is crazy. There's so much energy. And I look over to my left, and there's this like guy who's like in his like early 40s in a bucket hat, and he's kind of sweaty. I mean, everyone was sweaty. And I look at him, and I go, gee, what is this guy doing here? And then I look down at myself, and looked at him, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the old guy with him. This is just me.
Oh, you are not. So, you are not the old people at that at Lollapalooza.
Well,
there's a lot of old people that go.
I felt like I was.
Are there creepy old people there?
There, you know,
or well-meaning old people who like music.
Yeah. Well-meaning old people that like music were there. You can tell people who have been the lifers for Lollapalooza because they have the comfortable shoes, like you know, the bucket hat guy who was standing next to me, the sunscreen, and the people who are getting there for the first time, the glitter. There's so much glitter this year that it was...
I totally missed the trend, Carms. I had the nipple-piercing cart that I was trying to push around to see if anybody needed that. Couldn't get through the crowd.
You had made a killing at
Could
this year.
Could not get through the crowd,
man,
at all.
Too bad.
Alright, so you're recommended for next year? You don't think Lollapalooza is going away?
So what I would make a suggestion, I think that we need to bring it back to the 3-day festival. 4 days is a little too much, especially with the oversaturation of festivals in Chicago. Riot Fest, Mambi, Pitchfork. Let's slow it down to just 3. Perry Farrell, this is Michael from WGN. Bring it down to 3 so we can all enjoy it again like the old days.
And change the name possibly to ATM, the music festival, because the money that's pumped into
I
that
know.
Thing.
Oh,
incredible.
You're telling me.
All right. Well, nice job by you.
Thank you.
Good luck on the new show.
Thanks.
Are you still going to be friendly to this show? You still going to stop by?
I am. And if we're not too short on time, I do have one last game.
Well, let's come back.
Okay.
Yeah, let's come back. We'll do it before in the next break. So what's the game called?
It is called, in the vein of Mad Libs, this is called Those Crazy Kids Libs.
Those Crazy Kids Libs. So it's a fill-in-the-blank game.
Yes, it is.
All right, coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 8:58. We're super tight on time. So here's what I want to do. We'll take the last break, and then we'll come back and play this game. I'll also tell you, Katie Ledecky is coming up. We'll get to the news, obviously, and the cast from The Music Man will be here live in studio. But first this, then the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN. Michael Heidemann will be remembered on this show for coming up with one of the great game shows of all time. What was that called again?
Are you talking about Lightfoot versus Lightfoot?
Yeah,
that
Lightfoot
was
or Lightfoot.
So good.
Oh, was it Gordon
best.
Lightfoot or Lori Lightfoot?
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
my that. This show is perfect.
That was the greatest contribution you made to show business.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, so this is called what again?
This is called Those Crazy Kids Libs in the Vein of Mad Libs.
All right, so go ahead, and we're going to fill in the blanks.
All right, so I got three for you here, guys. Okay. All right, so this comes from the police blotter that happened at the Lollapalooza Festival.
The actual police blotter?
Yes, from Chicago Scanner's Twitter.
Okay.
Shout out Chicago Scanner. I'll start off with an easy one for you.
Okay.
All right. A celebrity is making an appearance at the blank tent. He is asking for a police escort from VIP. There are over 1,000 people at the blank tent. So what is that blank?
Medical tent.
Is that the right answer? Because I was going to go with crack tent, meth tent. Carms, you got anything?
Yeah, organic tent.
Oh,
wow. Beer tent.
And the answer is?
The answer is, there's a celebrity making an appearance at the Chipotle tent. He is asking a police escort from the Chipotle tent.
Wait, there's 1,000 people at the Chipotle tent?
1,000 people at the Chipotle
tent. Was each tent sponsored?
They must have been.
Yeah, hospitality. Yeah. All right, give me number two.
All right, number two. I know it's getting a little bit harder here. From South Michigan Avenue, the police reported a report of a male stripping, and he has a blank. And then there's a follow-up. Hallelujah, the blank left.
The blank left. All right, so we know it's not an appendage. Mm. He has a blank, but the blank left.
Monkey.
Mm. You know what? I like that. I'm going with monkey.
Monkey? Correct answer is naked soapy body. Report of a male stripping, and he has a naked soapy body. Hallelujah, the naked soapy guy left.
So was he just showering in the street?
Well, there was rinsed.
There was a lot of nudity going on at that festival. I don't know if
that's
making
it right.
Twitter report.
We were talking about that off the air about how Europe is comfortable with nudity. I like our hang-ups, and I think we need more of them. And number three.
All right, number three. This comes from again the police blotter. Two in custody for punching a blank. Again, two in custody.
Oh, is this going to be like a punching a horse?
A blank.
Monkey.
They can't all be monkey. I'm going with punching a horse. The old Alex Karras Blazing Saddles Mongo thing. Carmen, you got anything?
I just bad thoughts that I don't want to say. Go ahead.
Punching a...
You were exactly right.
No, don't hit a horse.
No.
Two in custody for punching a police horse.
Yeah. Throw the book at him.
I know, right?
I don't care how drunk you are. How does that make sense?
That poor horse.
There's a horse. There's a cop on the horse. I'm going to punch the horse. You think that ends well for you?
Mm-mm. I think the horse kicked the person, I hope.
Yeah,
maybe the horse
well.
Had an accident on
that's
his
the whole point of those horses is to just start trampling people.
I don't know that that's the
you
actual.
Know it is, right.
I don't know if that's a written purpose, but, you know. See, the job description for the horse.
Started
are you willing to trample people?
Started with the hippies.
Okay. It's a very weird, weird moment here.
From 1968.
Chicago. Thank you, Michael, by the way.
Thank you, Steve, for everything.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
It is 9:13. Summer Olympics won't be that far away. It's not this summer, kids. It's next summer. But one of the great names that came out from the last time we did this, and if you pay any attention to swimming on an annual or global scale, you know, Katie Ledecky. It's just a cool story. It's a cool family story, and she is an amazing athlete. And it's an honor to have you on the show, Katie. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
First off, how are you feeling? Because I know in South Korea you got sick.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. It was a little bit of a rough week in South Korea. getting sick and having to pull out of two events, but was happy that I was able to pull through for two more events at the end of the week and come away with a gold and two silvers back home.
But you swam nauseous. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I had a lot of different symptoms over the course of the week, but ultimately was feeling good enough to swim and get through it.
Explain to me how you power through, because I can come in here and do a talk show for 4 hours when I'm not feeling very well. And I'm sure to some people that seems like, well, how could you do a talk show? I guess it's anything you do for work. But the idea of getting in a pool and swimming at the level you swim at when you're not feeling well, you must be able to put yourself in a different mindset.
Yeah, it was hard, but I was at the World Championships, and it was a big meet, big competition, what I had prepared for the whole year. So I just tried to do everything that I could once I got sick to put myself in the position to get back to some racing at the end of the week.
Now, there was, of course, a conspiracy theory or two that somebody, gave you a bad tuna sandwich or something. Do you want to dispel that?
I have no idea how I got sick. For all I know, it could have been that. But I don't know the source. It's kind of just like any other bug that you'll pick up.
Sure.
You don't know exactly where you got it. But, you can't control things. So.
Was Vladimir Putin wandering around at all? Did you know?
No. I don't think anything crazy like that happened. I think it was just a pretty typical stomach virus.
Talking to Katie Ledecky and G.
Katie, you're so dominant in your field. You're usually never swimming, competing against somebody. It's mostly you're competing against time and your own records. So how do you keep yourself motivated?
Well, I'm always motivated to just do my very best. It gets harder and harder as you get faster and as you go through the years to continue to find new ways to improve. So I'm doing everything that I can in and out of the water to set myself up to be in the position to be better and race the very best in the world. The world's getting faster, and I've got a lot of great competition out there, so I'm excited for this next year.
Part of her secret's chocolate milk.
Ah,
and
really?
I'm not kidding. We'll get to that in a second. But, Katie, the Western Burbs here in particular, and I know all over in the suburbs there's great youth swimming programs, but in particular out in Naperville. My kids grew up in a swimming program. How do you know when you're something special in the pool versus somebody that's just kind of fast?
Yeah, I know a lot of great swimmers in Chicago, and I think you never really know exactly when. I think when I was 6 years old, I never dreamed of going to the Olympics. I thought it was impossible, but I always set goals for myself, and eventually I got to the point where my next goal was qualifying for Olympic trials, and kind of when I realized I might have a shot to make it to the Olympics. But just always loved the sport and played a number of other sports growing up, but always started, always veered towards swimming or going to swim practice over basketball practice if the two were at the same time. So I just found something that I loved and kind of ran with it or
swam with it. I'm sure you know Kevin Cordes. Kevin competed in the last games. Kevin grew up like out my back window.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got
a great
family, and he's a phenomenal swimmer. Gee.
Katie, I mean, the public gives you a ton of support, especially like when the Olympics roll around. But the amount of preparation that you have to put in and work throughout the years preparing for the Olympics, what can we do to better support our Olympic athletes, in the years that the Olympics aren't happening?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think swimming is a sport that's every 4 years at the Olympics, but the reality is we have big competitions every single year. We're training every single year for those meets as well as our long-term goals of the Olympics. It is the biggest stage, the Olympics, but I'm training 10 times a week in the water, 3 times a week out of the water. So I'm doing everything that I can to prepare myself in the water as well as out of the water, as I've said, to get better. And I've really had a great support system around me, my parents, my family, my coaches, my teammates. They've always been there to support me, and we always appreciate more support and more eyes on our races, so encourage everyone to follow along swimming over the next year.
And I couldn't help but notice you said 10 times a week in the water. So what are your two-a-days?
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Now, Summer Olympics next year. Have you swam in Tokyo before?
I have. I swam there in 2018.
And is the culture there, I know that's a big diving country. What about swimming?
Yeah, it's a pretty big swimming country. They have a lot of great swimmers coming up through the ranks on the international level and winning gold medals at world championships. So I think they'll be very excited for swimming at the Olympics.
And before we get to chocolate milk once and for all, pardon me, you mentioned your parents. We're told your family never pushed you into any of this, which is kind of refreshing to hear.
Yeah, my parents, I think, just realized that I loved the sport, and it was a passion of mine, and they always wanted to support me in whatever I enjoyed, whatever my brother enjoyed. Luckily, we both loved swimming, so they could kind of take both of us to swim practice at the same time. But I can't thank my parents enough for all the support they've given me over the years. They've woken up at 4 in the morning multiple times a week during high school, you know, even before that, and taking me to practice. So it really is a team effort, and really appreciative of my family's support.
Now, if you paid any attention in the last couple of years, you've seen these studies that say after a workout, chocolate milk is about the best thing you could do as a recovery drink. So there's a Built with Chocolate Milk team of elite athletes that's out there. You're on the team now.
Yes, I've been drinking chocolate milk since I was a young teen, and I really believe in the benefits of chocolate milk and how it's helped me recover between workouts and between races at my competitions. There is a lot of science behind it, and the protein and carbs and natural electrolytes that it has have really helped me recover and get ready for being my very best at the biggest level.
When you can pound a chocolate milk after a good hard workout, I mean, that's a great reward. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it tastes pretty good. You know, you can't beat it.
Doubt about it. Are you in the pool today?
I'll probably go splash around at my summer league pool with my family. I'm kind of in the week and a half break that I get once a year, so not training heavily right now. I'm just taking a short break as I gear up and get back into full swing training next week.
Well, stay healthy and good luck. And, you know, have a food taster from now on. You know, just, you know, walk around with an intern or somebody that can eat your food before you. And we're nothing but big fans. So thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Built with chocolate milk. Katie Ledecky, you Google that up. You'll see what they're talking about. Mm. There. Have you done chocolate milk after workout?
No.
It's great.
I can't. I don't really do milk.
Oh, I've done it.
Because I'm lactose. Well, good. Only because I'm a lactose intolerant.
Don't they do chocolate milk? Do they do that?
I would do that. And I would do that if only I worked out, then I would do it.
You look great, stuff. how about you, Miss Runner, Mary Vandeveld?
Yeah, I've done it. And you know what? That's why at the hot chocolate race, they give you the hot chocolate afterwards. The hot chocolate to me is not as good. I'd rather have cold.
No, you know, great after, chocolate after milk. Man, you pound of chocolate milk
or
after
a beer.
Plus, Steve, you know I do the pickle juice, so that's my recovery.
I think the medical reference on that is still, we're waiting for that to come in. The research isn't quite as heavy. It's 9:22. We're back with some sound from, well, the news of the past couple of days in a moment on 720 WGN.
And Steve, coming up from the WGN newsroom at 9:30, an investigation is underway after police found an alligator in a home on the northwest side. They were there serving a drug and narcotics and gun warrant. I've already seen on social media somebody suggesting we call the gator El Champo. Anybody? All right. That's coming up from the WGN newsroom.
Oh, I get it.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, a couple of pieces of sound that sort of sum up where we are in regards to those in charge and those who pay attention to those in charge. This is some new sound from the past couple of days, and I was struck by the reaction of some people who cover this stuff for a living. Let's go back 24 hours, because in this hour, President Trump spoke and used a hot-button term for the first time and was praised for it.
The shooter in El Paso posted a manifesto online consumed by racist hate. In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul.
Nobody has been more negative than Donald Trump, and he has absolutely stirred the pot here. So let's see if he lives up to his words. Once again, he has a chance to do that. Wolf Blitzer, about as a newsman can get, had this yesterday.
We've covered the murders over at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, 11 people killed. The Parkland, Florida school shooting, 17 people killed. The Southern Springs, Texas shooting, 25 people killed, including a pregnant mom with a newborn on the way. The mass murder in Las Vegas, 58 people killed. The Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, 49 people killed. In 2012, I covered the mass shooting at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, where 27 people were killed, including 20 little children. At the time, I simply assumed our leaders would take critical action to try to make sure it doesn't happen again. But we have seen it happen again and again and again. And sadly, despite the outrage all of us are feeling right now, I assume not much will happen at this time either. I hope I'm wrong.
John Oliver, about as opposite of end of the spectrum as you could imagine. This is from Sunday night on HBO.
Yeah, but here is the thing about that. It is not only in the panhandle where you can get away with that statement. You can now get away with it all over the country. And, as he just made painfully clear, in any room the actual president is in, which is absolutely appalling. And that is something we cannot afford to get numb to. Because if that ever, for even a moment, feels like it's become normal, we are completely
That's John Oliver referring specifically to this actual exchange from a Donald Trump rally.
When you have 15,000 people marching up and you have hundreds and hundreds of people and you have two or three border security people that are brave and great, and don't forget, we don't let them and we can't let them use weapons. We can't. Other countries do. We can't. I would never do that. But how do you stop these people? You can't. There's no... That's only in the panhandle you can get away with that statement.
It's not funny.
Only in the panhandle.
It's not funny. It's not funny. And you have an opportunity as president of the United States to not do that ever. And by the way, to apologize for what you did do there and other places.
Yeah, and if you didn't hear that, the person in the audience said, shoot him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. As far as taking a new, more positive approach, this morning on Twitter, I am the least racist person. Black, Hispanic, and Asian unemployment is the lowest, parentheses, best in the history of the United States. You can be racist and still
this has nothing to do with unemployment.
Nope. Zero. And then he quotes several things from Fox and Friends. Mr. President, we need you to be better. We need you to do better as long as you have the gig. Try harder. It's 9:31. We'll come back with the news next. We have BMW passes for next week's tournament, which, by the way, are amazing. I had drifted off there for a second because you get a pair of tickets to the Oasis, the BMW Championship next week. One-of-a-kind hospitality venue providing reserved seating with exceptional views of the 11th at Medina and surrounded by six holes. Golf fans are in the epicenter of the action. It includes continental breakfast, full lunch buffet, complimentary parking. Get information to get your tickets so you don't miss out in this FedEx playoffs semifinal, if you will, before the final in Atlanta in, what, less than a month now. Get information and purchase tickets to the 2019 BMW Championship at BMWChampionship.com. And only if you love golf can you win these. If you love golf, you call and you be the seventh caller and you say, Super Joe, you tell Steve I love golf. 312-981-7200 is the number. We'll start with caller number seven because that's what I made on the 10th hole on Sunday and I wasn't happy. So I'm just going to, I'm trying to, you know, clear my.
That's not good.
My mental over this.
Seven's not good.
Seven's really bad. Really bad. You know what happens? You knock one in the water and then you three putt. That's how you make seven. Yeah, you know.
It takes a long time to do that.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Shaboopy, shaboopy, shaboopy.
The girl is hard to get.
Shaboopy, shaboopy, shaboopy.
But you can't win her yet.
Walk her once just to raise the curtain. Walk around twice and make for certain. Once more in the flower garden. Never get sore if you beg her pardon. Squeeze her once when she isn't looking. Get a squeeze back, that's fancy.
Here's the crazy part. They're doing that live right now. And right here in studio. That's how real this is. The Music Man, Broadway and Chicago.com. Gee, you just saw this.
I did, and I had no idea that this was where one of my favorite songs, Till There Was You, was from this musical.
Song.
I didn't
know. Beautiful song. Beautiful song. Jeff Packard and Monica Wester here. Hi.
Good morning.
Nice to see both of you. And by the way, I gave you guys a hard time about your hats. You both look great in hats.
Thanks.
It's just I didn't wear a hat today, so I felt out of place. And with this head, it's often covered by a hat. So.
Well, we wear hats to all our interviews.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Oh, it's a thing.
We coordinate.
It's a hat thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where well, on your power. Mic now. There you go. Nope. You were saying?
That's where we get our powers from, our hats.
Oh, it's from the hats.
Yeah.
Magical.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
We were talking off the air about you being a professor and a professor.
Mm-hmm. I have a teaching appointment at the University of Michigan that I got this past year. So we joked that this was the year of the professor. Two professors, 1 year. Professor Harold Hill and Professor Jeff Pack.
Are you a better fake professor or real professor?
I hope I'm a better real professor.
What do you think?
But I like to think I'm not a bad fake professor as well.
What would your real professor do by giving notes to your fake professor? Like, what would your real professor say to you as the character you're playing now?
It's not even what my real professor would say. It's what my students would say.
Oh.
They would not let him off the hook. They would catch him in his lie moments after he lied. Yeah, they would. These students, at least the students at the University of Michigan, go blue. Our sharp as tacks these days.
Now, this guy right here that you can see through the window, that's Super Joe.
Oh,
die hard
Ohio
Michigan.
State guy? No. Oh, good. Go blue.
Die hard
go
Michigan.
Let's
fan.
Go, baby.
That's right. So much so, he even defends Harbaugh. You know, who I think we both can agree is off the deep end.
I don't know about that.
How'd you guys get into biz?
Man, I started, I had this amazing music teacher when I was in third grade, and she was the first person who said, like, oh, you know, you should sing a little solo at the chorus concert. My parents said that they were in the audience, like, oh my God, she's going to sing by herself. And then it
But were you
out.
The kid walking around the house singing all the time?
You know, maybe, yeah. Andrew Lloyd Webber was, like, really big. I remember singing songs from Evita around the house.
Wow. At 5, 6, 7 years old.
Casually singing songs from Evita, yeah. Which I could never, ever do.
Well, I'm not saying it was good, but I was into it.
You must have known that you had an incredible talent. I mean, both of you sing beautifully.
I sure didn't. I had an older sister who was super into musical theater. And was actually Marion, her senior year of high school, in The Music Man, where I was in the ensemble my freshman year of high school. And my brother, I have a twin brother, and my brother and I didn't know what we wanted to do. We were much more identifiable as athletes in high school. And we sort of watched my sister audition at all these colleges, and then we auditioned at colleges, and we sort of fell in love with it in college.
Well, usually it's not in the house, though. Usually it's somebody outside in your world somewhere who says, listen, you've got a talent here. You need to go after
well,
this.
Yeah, I definitely remember someone in my life saying, you know, you should think about doing this. And
teacher, guidance counselor?
Teacher.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Both influenced by teachers.
Yeah. My teacher is coming to the show. I haven't
How
seen
nervous
her
are you?
Over like 25 years.
Wow.
Oh, don't blow this.
I know.
Right, lots of pressure.
Better be good.
Now, Monica, did you grow up with The Music Man?
No, I had never seen it until I auditioned for the show.
Me too. Same. Yeah. Same.
Mm-hmm.
I think you two are the only ones in America.
I was going to say.
Me and G.
It's magical.
Right? Yeah.
To have that first experience is probably, you know, it's lovely. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
So you were in chorus for Music Man in high school?
Yeah, I was in my freshman year of high school. I was in The Music Man. We have a weird tradition in my family. Like, my mom was a pick a little lady, you know, in the 60s in her high school production. And my brother and I and my sister were in it in high school.
What's your twin brother do?
He's an actor as well.
Is he identical or fraternal?
Fraternal.
Okay.
Fraternal. Went to Ithaca College.
Yeah, so did I.
Who's the cuter brother?
Me. Oh, I have to say him, right? You can't say me. Thank God this is the radio.
What would your agent say?
My agent would, I don't know. He'd be very diplomatic.
Very modest. He's teaching modesty. That's one of the things he's teaching in school at Michigan.
Yeah, modesty, right? 101.
All right, what do you want to do? Give me the dream role, the one you really want to do.
Well, Monica does TV, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean.
There's got to be one where you go, oh, I have to play this or that.
I have to do that. You know, there's a show called August Osage County, uh-huh. and I saw mm-hmm. Amy Morton, amazing Chicago actress, do it on Broadway, and after I saw her, I thought she was audacious, and I loved the energy she brought to this role. So I would love to do that role someday.
So you see somebody in a part like that, you're inspired to do that part.
Mm-hmm. Inspired to do that. I mean, she inspired me the next day, and I don't book every job I go for. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know why. I want to talk to people who aren't hiring you. You know,
I mean, like, I think people know that about actors. You don't book every job. So I saw her in that show that night, and the very next day I went in and auditioned for something, and I said, like, I'm going to be audacious, and I got the job.
It's amazing, Jeff, right? When you see somebody and you go, they're so good, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's sometimes it's... It's either inspiring or really deflating, because you're like, I will never be that. I remember seeing, usually it's musicians. I see somebody who can sing and play instruments and like also write these amazing songs, and I think, well, pick one, will you?
Right. You're not being fair.
Yeah, leave some for the rest
of us.
But some
show business rules that need to apply here. Yeah.
Although I think the next thing I would love to do is something where I'm not on stage for, you know, 70% of the show, perhaps.
More of a kickback.
More of like a King George and Hamilton situation.
How great is that guy?
How great is he?
And he steals
two
the show.
Scenes,
yeah.
Huge payoff. My buddy Andrew Call is doing it in Chicago. Shout out to Andrew Call.
Tremendous.
But I'm next, Andrew.
And by the way, nice job working a plug-in for Hamilton, because they need
to sell
tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
BroadwayinChicago.com for Music Man. All right, review it right in front of these guys.
Oh, I thought you guys were fabulous. It was charming. It harkened back to another era in America that was
sweet
and simpler. But
fun
still,
for the whole family.
Yeah, but still complex. There was a redemption, which I thought was beautiful. There was an arc of Harold Hill, your character that you played so beautifully, Jeff. And you know, you start, he's a swindler, and then he turns out to be a good guy. And there's love at the end.
So you'd highly recommend it.
I would, especially because these two are there.
Yeah. Do you two agree, or would you like to slam it?
No, I love it.
No, we both have little kids, and so, you know, maybe another show would be hard to get up the energy to do, but this is such a joy to do.
That's cool.
The audiences are the best for the show.
You guys have a lot of kids in the audience, I noticed, too. So you're not distracted by the little sounds and stuff.
It's really fun to see them in the front row.
It's sort of the best distraction.
Mm-hmm. How old are your kids, for each of you?
My son is one.
Wow.
I have a one-year-old and a four-year-old.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And Monica, you look fabulous.
Oh, thanks. That is thank you. It was
true. Did you take this role just so you could sleep on the road?
He's here with me.
Oh, he is. Yeah. You can't leave him alone. You got to have him around.
He's here with me. It's been an amazing experience, and I really have a new respect for people who do this on their own. I've had a lot of family in town, but I've done some single parenting while it's here, and that is for real.
How about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, because you're not exactly working, quote, normal hours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and the one and the four, boy, girl?
Boy is four, girl is one.
Is the boy helping? Because my granddaughter, 3.5, is a big help.
He is a lovely older brother, yeah.
And your family's here while you're...
Yeah, my wife is here, and she has a lot of family in town as well.
Good.
Well, you guys are delightful in or out of hats. I mean, both ways.
Well, we have them right here on the desk, so we're still getting the power from them.
Jeff did the nice thing. He came in. He said, "Well, you like to wear my hat?" And I go, "Well, not in that size. Yeah, that's not going to fit. Yeah, we're going to need the jaws of life."
It's because all of your brain power.
That's exactly right. That's what I was going to say. Sell it. BroadwayinChicago.com. Why else should I go? I mean, I'm going to have a great time.
You are. I should also mention we're going to be at a White Sox game on Friday.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. What are you doing at the White Sox?
We're doing like 10 minutes of the show before the game. I don't know when it's going to happen.
Half an hour before the game.
Now, that would make me nervous because people are there to watch a baseball game.
Eat hot dogs and drink beer.
Right. Do you feel...
Okay, well, one of the things I was going to say, like, sell the show here. I'll sell the show for the White Sox game. People won't... will be surprised to know how many songs that they know and love from the
like
show.
Like me.
That's a great,
me.
Point. That's a great
you,
point.
Like you said, Gary and Deanna the other day. Did you know that was from the show?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And the same kind of, I think, nostalgia, American nostalgia that we have for baseball, the America's Game or whatever, is the same sort of nostalgia that you would get from the Music Man.
So it does kind of tie together. And by the way, if none of this is true, it's great that you guys are psyching yourself up that way. Are you going to be on the dugout or on the field?
I think we're on the field.
It's probably safer. You're farther away because if you're on the dugout roof, you got to listen
to
chunks.
Tune in to see if I can do this. But there's a song in the show called Trouble, which is a supremely dense patter song, a lot of words in that one, and we have an echo. Usually there's like a delay on the field, and so that's going to be a challenge to make sure I get all my words.
Well, I think the moment that you guys open your mouths and they hear your phenomenal voices, it's going to be excellent. Of course.
They may cancel the game. Just have you do the whole show.
Be wonderful representatives for the Music Man and the Goodman Theater. So
thank you. Well, they'll either really enjoy it.
I keep saying Broadway in Chicago,
yes,
don't I?
Yes.
I keep saying, listen, Broadway in Chicago, they're fine people. You got to remember, it's almost the end of the show for me. I know you're at the Goodman. I apologize.
I was trying to do that very subtly.
No, you should point out when I'm an idiot. I know you're at the Goodman. I apologize for that. It's the Goodman. I don't know if you heard, Broadway in Chicago shut down. Yeah, the whole thing's over.
Steve, we don't want Broadway Chicago mad at us. We support them both.
Well, they're not here now.
Music Man is from the Goodman Theater, the Goodman, where I learned.
Yeah, and
the Goodman Theater. Indiana actually had its own song.
Exactly, and you should only go to the Goodman. You shouldn't go anywhere else, especially if you want to see the Music Man. How am I doing?
The Goodman and the White Sox game on Friday.
Yeah, am I covering well?
White Sox.
Goodman Theater. Spell it with a G. Goodman Theater. What an idiot.
You two are amazing.
Yes, you are, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I can't believe you let me get away with that and didn't correct me. But thank you very much. And for my fellow upstate Central New Yorkers,
right.
I'll see you at the reunion.
Okay.
I'll be parking cars.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is coming up on Bill and Wendy time. If somebody could just call us quick at 312-981-7200, G needs a recommendation on a great alarm clock that will make sure she never oversleeps. You can call us at that next, 312-981-7200, and we're back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. All right, this is interesting. Amazon Echo, there's a thing called the Amazon Echo Spot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the dot and the spot. The spot is a smaller version, as I understand it. But anyway, there's a thing called the Travelway LED Digital Alarm Clock, which is part of the Amazon Echo. So if you had an Echo in your bedroom.
But I don't have an Echo.
Well, it's going to start with you needing to get the Echo.
See, now you're going to make me buy two things, Steve.
Other thing is, and this is what I was thinking of when we brought this up earlier off the air. It's a 1931 Big Ben alarm clock. L.L. Bean sells it, and it's the standard alarm clock face, like, you know, the clock up here on the wall, the old school clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the two actual bells on top with the little hammers that hit. That'll get you out of bed.
Sounds straight out of Looney Tunes.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like a Looney Tunes alarm clock. Of course, $45 seems high, but...
I'm just terrified because I have... Well, I thought I had a lot of alarms set until I just saw Wendy's cell phone.
Yeah, I have an alarm set 6:30, 6:44, then it's every 10 minutes after that.
I had four of them, but then what happens if something goes berserk with my cell phone? That's why I need a backup alarm.
I'm the last person to suggest this because of my record.
Right, why is she asking you?
Right, but I have an iPad that I set as a backup alarm, which is a separate device, but both could go down. The old standard alarm clock is not a bad idea. You can also buy the one that's shaped like a baseball, kind of, and it bounces off whatever surface it's on, so you literally have to get out of bed to get it to shut it off.
Okay, listen, I don't have a heart attack in the morning. I just want to get up and make sure that I'm here.
I wake up to Nick DiGilio, and I get out of bed really quick. Here's an idea.
Because you don't want to be in bed with Nick. I get it. I totally get it.
Why don't you have Nick's producer give you a wake-up call every day?
Yeah, like a hotel. That would work.
Yeah, really.
Like Tom would love
it. Is that Tom that's doing
really
it now?
Love so that?
Having doesn't matter another if he loves it. This show's got to be on the air. This is vital stuff.
I'll call you, G. I'm up anyway.
Thank you.
So, all right, we'll be back tomorrow for more. Where's Bill today?
Bill is filming a television show. Is it filming or taping? I don't know what it's called.
What's the part?
He's on Collector's Call, which is on MeTV. Bill, as you know, collects toys. I'm going to say dolls. No, all
cute
kinds of
little
toys.
Girl toys.
Say action figures. And toys. There's a whole bunch of things.
He's a feature.
Feature with Lisa Welchel from Facts of Life and Survivor. She was on Survivor as well. So they're hanging out today. And I know it sounds like I'm making this up.
This is such a stupid business.
But he will be on. We'll let you know when he'll be back tomorrow. But Mary Vandeveld is sitting in his chair today.
Oh, good. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
By the way, I forgot to mention these guys earlier. These are guys that played in the golf tournament with me this weekend. It's not that I owe them all an apology. But Sean, Libby, Dan, Alan McPherson, my favorite, Scott, Dean, and Kevin. See you on the golf course.